afternoon again. And a beautiful one it is. I'm preaching at all the masses because throughout all the parishes in the Diocese of Lansing, it's DSA weekend, the weekend for our diocesan services appeal. And we decided to play the bishop's video message before all masses last weekend. So hopefully you've already seen that. And just like last year, I'm using the DSA weekend as an opportunity to address the stewardship of our parish in general, a sort of fiscal state of the parish address. So I do apologize to any visitors for all the parish-specific information this Sunday. But the good thing is that even non-parishioners will find some of today's message applicable to them as well, because it is related to that first line that we heard of today's second reading. There we hear St. Paul exhorting us, "Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." Right, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. We shouldn't necessarily see that struggle, that hardship for the gospel as a negative thing, but instead as a positive sign that we're out there fighting the good fight and carrying the cross with Jesus, joining our Lord in his saving work of healing souls and the salvation of our family, friends, and all those around us. Because that's also our work, since we are members of Christ's mystical body through whom Jesus carries out his saving work throughout history. And by that work, we fulfill our God-given mission in this world. So do we embrace that mission despite the hardship? Anything worth doing, anything of value and true significance in a fallen world, probably will require work and sacrifice. And in bearing our share of hardship for the gospel, we are participating in the work that people need more than anything, more than breath itself, and that is discovering the eternal significance and purpose of their life, their eternal destiny. The levels of anxiety and addiction are seemingly unprecedented in our age, isn't it? A big part of that is because people are just trying to fill the insatiable, infinite longings of their soul with something finite, when they were made for nothing less than intimacy and eternal union with God. I think it was the comedian Jim Carrey who said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer." Very true, because nothing in this world can fulfill our deepest yearning. Nothing or no one but God can fulfill our inherent desire for God. We're made for Him. But in a secular world that has shunned God, the church often stands alone in proclaiming the fullness of the good news. So St. Paul reminds us, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. And that hardship or struggle involves the stewardship of three primary things in our life: the stewardship of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure. And we invest our time and our talents into ways that draw or invite people, the people around us, into that healing and saving relationship with God for which they were made. We just had, for example, a called and gifted workshop last weekend that helped us discover our unique God-given gifts called charisms, which are channels of God's goodness for people in the world. We also had our Come and See event last fall to discover ways that we can invest our time and talent into our own faith formation, into serving our neighbor, and into participating in the life of the parish. And so this week, we want to be intentional in the stewardship of that third element of our treasure. And right off the bat, I just want to express my delight, my absolute delight in seeing how our parish responded to our first year of the 541 Generosity Challenge. If you remember last year, we embraced the 541 model of stewardship, where the traditional 10% of our gross income is separated into three categories, right? 5% going to our Sunday offertory, 4% going to other parish initiatives, such as supporting our local Catholic schools, our local Catholic charities, our organ fund to install the Aeolian Skinner organ we have in storage, and the capital projects on our 10-year plan. And then finally, the third element of that 5-4-1 model, 1% going to the DSA, our Diocesan Services Appeal. And we witnessed firsthand how you, our parishioners, wonderfully embrace this 5-4-1 model of stewardship. Because for the first time in decades, we actually reached our parish's DSA goal. And over 467 parish households pledged a regular amount to our Sunday offertory. When you take our weekly mass attendance at our six masses and divide that by 2.5 households or 2.5 people per household, that's about 90% of the households that go to mass on a given weekend. That's an excellent participation rate. Those households are the backbone of our budgeting, allowing us to more accurately budget each fiscal year that goes from July to June. Your intentional giving is why we were able to hire John Richards, our new part-time director of parish operations, a position that, when Andy Beale was with us, God rest his soul, was covered by the Trinity grants. Your intentional giving is why the spiritual life of our parish has been revitalized with so many faith formation opportunities. Your intentional giving is why our Sunday offering is nearly $80,000 above budget year to date, which is amazing considering that in prior years, we were often in the red just trying to get by. Last year, for example, before we began the 5-4-1 model, we didn't quite make what we had budgeted for Sunday offertory. Our collections, however, surged in the last part of the fiscal year because people began practicing the 5-4-1 model right away when we introduced it in this month last year. But despite the surge, we came up just a little short, and so we had to take about $50,000 from our savings in order to make ends meet. And we don't like to do that because the balance in our savings is already at a critically low level of about $670,000, which may not sound too bad, but given all that's required for the projects of all three of our campuses in our 10-year plan, for the simple maintenance of our buildings, and particularly our school campus, and with construction costs going up, it's an insufficient amount of what we need in our savings fund. As a side note, in the month of May, we will have a separate evening meeting in May for all parishioners interested to review those capital projects and maintenance needs in the 10-year plan that our Building and Grounds Committee, chaired by Tony Shaughnessy, has been maintaining. If we are to stay on schedule with the proposed maintenance projects on that 10-year plan, we would need to use about 60% of what is in our savings account by the end of this year alone, right? So do we actually go forward with those projects if over 60% of our savings will be used up by the end of 2020? That would be pretty risky, right? So please continue to use the 4% of the 5-4-1 model to be faithful to your support of our capital projects. For those who use envelopes instead of online giving or whatnot, right? Those envelopes, that monthly yellow envelope that says Future Capital Expenditures Fund, that's what that is for, our capital projects. While Sunday offertory is the primary source of our funds, we do rely on those other types of support, such as capital fund donations and bequests from estates, which can be too unpredictable to really rely on, right? But if we continue and finish strong this fiscal year, we'll be able to replenish at least that amount we took out of savings from last year. So thank you so much for responding so positively when we kicked off the Generosity Challenge in March of last year. And let's thank one another, you know, the people sitting around you, right, for the mutual support we are giving to each other as God's family. So for this next fiscal year, let's continue the good thing we have going. We want to continue giving intentionally, that is with purpose, giving our worship of God and the work of the gospel our first fruits, not our leftovers, right? We hope that God isn't, you know, we don't consider God leftover material, but is worthy of the first fruits of our labors. And notice that we have both the DSA envelope, which is this, and the St. John pledge card in your pews, at the end of your pews. So if those in the end, if people in the middle of your pews can't reach them please offer to see if they want one. They are a reminder that you can take home with you. People, our registered parishioners will also, if we have your address, get a mailing as well. When you receive the parish pledge card and the DSA envelope in the mail, please pray about your pledge both to the Sunday offertory and to the DSA. And when you come back with them, hopefully next Sunday, you can place the Sunday offertory, this one, beige one, open it up after you fill out this pledge part of the DSA. You can put both of those pieces into this same envelope, right? Seal it, and then put it into the collection basket next Sunday. Or you can drop them off at the parish office. Whatever you do, don't send it to the diocese, all right? Because we need to count the DSA donation as part of meeting our parish goal. So we'll be sending those in bunches regularly to the diocese. So please don't send this to the diocese. Notice this year on the Sunday offertory pledge card, on the side that has our logo on the left side of it, you'll need to check one of three options there. And it says there, where it says trusting in God's goodness and providential care, then it has three options. Number one, I renew my 2019 pledge. So if you're pledging the same amount as you are from last year, just check that. Number two, I would like to change my amount, hopefully up, on the second one. And then third, I make this first-time pledge. And if that's the case, check that. We had 467 people pledge last year. Let's shoot for 500, that wonderful round number, the St. John 500. And that would mean 467 households renewing their pledge, and then an extra 33 people who maybe last year were just a little bit hesitant. What's this 5-for-1 stuff thing? And now that you know more fully about it and how it's really sustaining our parish and helping it grow, that hopefully you'll want to get on board this year. If you remember, and last year if you were hesitant to give the full 5%, please consider increasing your pledge as an expression of your increased trust in God this year. You may remember from last year that we offered a guarantee that you can't outdo God's generosity. I said that if you find yourself in a financial crisis and you need the increased amount that you gave to the parish offertory, we will give that amount back to you. And so we want to give you the same guarantee this year, right? We have record of each parishioner's offering, so you have my word that any increase in your offertory from your last pledge will return to you if you truly find yourself in financial need. That has yet to happen to Father Tim Nelson at St. Mary's. For the several years he's adopted a similar model, and in this past year no one came up to me needing their increased giving back, knock on wood. I did, however, have a couple of folks come up to me that since they increased their pledge, they have said to me, we've prospered financially even more now. We feel like God's rewarding our trust. Now, I'm not saying that'll happen to you. You obviously want to increase your pledge for the right reasons. That is, bearing your share of hardship for the gospel. So maybe in this past year, you felt no hardship or no pinch whatsoever. And perhaps that's a sign to increase your pledge this year, so that you feel that sense of sacrifice for the gospel. Whatever the case, make this challenge a spiritual one as an opportunity to give yourself more wholeheartedly to the Lord and enter into an intimate relationship of trust with Him. And in doing so, we're putting into practice today's second reading. We're in this together, so let us together bear our share of hardship for the gospel.